Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. Burrow.com/acast.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show.
With Leanne Sanderson.
Absolutely first class.
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, this is the TalkSport Women's Football Show podcast. I'm Leanne Sanderson, bringing you loads of exclusive content. We'll be here every week with the very best of the show. Don't forget, you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week, we're on Monday at 7 p.m. So swipe for TalkSport 2, find Monday, and you can listen full there. This week, I was joined by Charlton manager Karen Hills, who's just been crowned Manager of the Month.
Yeah, obviously really pleased to pick up the award. However, we always talk about it's the team behind the team. And obviously I wouldn't be able to collect that award if it wasn't for the team around me and also the players on the pitch. So no, it's been a really good start to the year and obviously long may it continue.
And coming up against your former side at the weekend, how does it feel? You know, we've obviously played against each other and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But how does it feel coming up against a side that you previously managed?
Yeah, it's, we ended up playing them actually in a friendly game before, just after Christmas. So we went over to the training ground and it's changed so much since obviously I was there and made amazing progress. So it was good to go over there. We played them in a friendly and done well. Obviously, they got a fantastic team. And then obviously to draw them in the FA Cup, it was an interesting one. Obviously going to Leighton for the first time. It was good. The girls are confident. We've had a really good run, and to play a top team was always going to be a challenge. But at the same time, we was ready for the challenge. And I was looking at like the cup upset, but we held them. We held out to like 76 minutes. I think played really really well. Had opportunities, but at the end of the day, it was a game that obviously just slipped away, and it was small margins. And obviously, Kit Graham, which we all know. Went from Charlton, I took her over to Spurs, and then obviously she's been at Spurs for a long period of time, and then she steps up and scores the winning goal. So fair play to her. But yeah, I was really pleased with my team. I thought we matched them. And also, yeah, I was just really pleased with where we are. But now it's just really focusing on back into the league.
And going up against your former side, Tottenham Hotspur, I mean, you were a massive part in their success, you know. Then they got into the WSL. You know, how much do you think they've progressed over the years, on and off the pitch?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of work that's been done off the pitch to get them to where they've got to now. There's a lot more resources. I think the club have completely integrated them. They're obviously at the men's training ground, or the training ground now, as it's called. And they've got their own building, their own identity, and rightly so. And now they've got players that are just another calibre of player that obviously I was able to work with. However, I did work with the likes of like Alex Morgan, Shalina, Aria Percival, players that we bought in, plus the players that we had where we bought through, like the Ashley Nevilles, the Jess Naz, and the Kit Grahams. So lots of fantastic, talented players that I had the privilege to work with when I was there. But no, they've obviously changed manager, new style. Obviously, the men's team as well have changed manager. So I think the style of football is always wanting to be attractive at Spurs. And yes, good luck to them. And yeah, I think they've progressed really, really well.
And now your team, Charlton, currently sitting top of the Championship. 2 points clear of Sunderland, 7 games left. What's been your key messages to your players at this moment in time?
Key messages, focus on the next game. Focus on what we can control. But I've been there, this is the third season Leanne, and obviously when I took over, it was part time, and I had a 3-year plan to keep us in the championship to start with. We then went full time, and we were successful in building a team of full time players and full time staff. I've been able to finish 5th last year. We got into the quarterfinals, not last year, the year before, against Brighton in the FA Cup. So we're making really good progress. And then this season, it was about retaining the players. And we managed to retain 17 players from last year, which knew what we was about, knew the standard, knew what we wanted to try and achieve. And I added a couple of additional players this season, the likes of Kate Longhurst.
I'm just going to bring Katie up. She's a big, you know, she's a friend of our show. She's co-presented a number of times last season. How much of a great addition has she been?
Yeah, Kate brings a lot of experience, a lot of wealth of experience in the women's game. She's played at many levels. She's been around the game a long, long time. Very humble, works really hard, and she is a great asset to the young players coming through. She's a great role model. Same as Kaylee Green, another experienced player who I think, again, was instrumental in what we've achieved so far this season. And some of the younger players have really stepped up. We're in a really, really good place, but it's always about what we're doing during the week. Are we better than what we was last week? Are we making sure that we're grounded, we're humble, we're working hard for each other? We've got the most competitive squad I've had for the last 3 years, and every single one of them are fantastic human beings, and I enjoy going to work with them every single day.
So we've had many of key battles, you know, on the field of play. You played for Charlton, I was at Arsenal, it was Everton, you know, and now you're back there managing the team. How is it to see now the growth of the women's game in this country, having been a player, you know, not long retired, and then now you're back at Charlton where you used to play? I mean, the progress must be unbelievable.
Yeah, like it was really different in our day when we played. We was obviously working full-time, and then obviously going over in the evening and giving your all to play football, and it was a hobby. So I'm really pleased to see where the game's gone to now in terms of more resources being put in, players being able to play full-time. That's what the game needs, that's what they deserve. And so, no, I'm really pleased to be a part of that. And obviously now the modern player, it's very different to the player that when we was playing. So obviously as a manager, I've had to go through my badges. I've made a lot of good decisions, and I've also made some mistakes as well along the way. And that's how we continue to grow as people. The game keeps revolving and changing tactically. The players' demands are obviously always greater. Women's players always want to know the reasons why we're doing everything, which is always great to know. And they don't just come in and put their boots on. They're there in everything they do in terms of wanting to know the ins and outs of everything, which is great. And it's always challenging for a manager to be able to deal with that. But it keeps me on my toes. Obviously, I'm just at the moment going through my pro licence. So I've just been accepted onto that. So that's another stage for me to continue with my learning, which I think is really important, because obviously I want to try and be the best I can every single day.
And every team, obviously, in the Championship is so competitive. We'll touch on a little bit more later and elaborate on that. But, you know, at the beginning of the season, everybody wants to get promoted into the WSL. What kind of plan do Charlton have in place if that happens? Because we've seen this year, you know, with Bristol, every single game is difficult for them to compete financially with the likes of Chelsea, Man City, Aston Villa. So have Charlton got what's kind of the plan in place if you do go up?
Yeah, the plans are in place. At the end of the day, that's what I set out. My job is to make the team successful on the pitch. And the club are supportive. The club want the women's team to be back in the top flight of the women's game. And they're completely supportive in what I'm trying to achieve. And obviously with my recruitment this year, that proved that. We made some really good signings for loan during January. We brought in Mel Phyllis and Gracie Pierce, two top young players. So the plan's already in place. It's different scenarios because, as you see, there's 5 teams that can get promoted. There's only one place to go into the WSL, but there's 5 teams chasing for it, which is so exciting for the Championship. And if I'm honest, it's probably been the most competitive league I've seen. And obviously now having 2 teams with that relegation, that's also another pressure on the league, but it's exciting. A lot of teams are really pushing, and Charlton are in a fantastic place in terms of on the pitch, off the pitch. If we go up to the next league, which is the aim, then obviously we're in a position that we can continue to do that. You get up there, it's a different ball game altogether. You see the kind of calibre of players that are playing in that top league. You see the results this weekend. The gap is getting closer. The results the are getting quite shorter. However, the calibre of players is to be able to compete like that week in, week out is difficult. And you have to bring world-class players in.
This year, the Women's Championship has been closer than ever, with plenty of teams, including Karen's Charlton, involved in the title race. Only 2 points between the bottom three teams. Earlier today, I spoke to Birmingham City's Christy Harrison-Murray and asked her how life has been at the West Midlands Club. I'm delighted to say joining me on the show is Christy Harrison-Murray. Christy, how are you doing? And it's been a while, my friend.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very, very good. So obviously I want to start by asking you about the game at the weekend. You played Leicester in the FA Cup. How disappointing were you with that result? You know, pulled it back to 2-2 after going 1-0 up early on and then losing the game, unfortunately, 6-2. What key messages did you learn from that?
Obviously proud of our team for how far we've come. It was a good test for us to see where we're at against the WSL team. And I think it's a tough scoreline, but I think like in terms of our performance, there's moments where we can see glimpses of what we're capable of. And I think obviously the fine margins are what cost us some of the goals. So I think for us, it's just an opportunity for us to reflect and see areas where we can push on now.
And you're currently sitting in fifth in the Championship, but we've seen this year, you know, how tight the Championship just really is. 4 points separate you from the top, 2 points from Sunderland in second. What have you made of the Championship this year and what's differentiated it between last year and this year, would you say?
I think obviously now there's more teams that are fully professional. Every team's getting better. I think you can see now that there's players who maybe haven't been playing in the WSL coming into the Championship and adding more quality. And yeah, it's getting a lot more competitive, which is great. So it's going to be an interesting finish to the season for sure.
And what's been the assessment of your team so far this season?
I think we started slow at the beginning of the season. And I think obviously building into Christmas, we got a good run of games, and we're hoping to push on again the second half of the season now.
And how important do you think it is having that core group? You've got yourself, you know, club captain, Jade Moore, Martha Harris. How important is it to have those types of experienced players that have played at the top, that have played for top clubs?
Yeah, hugely important. I think it just gives us that like wealth of experience. Obviously, Jade's played at the club before. We've got Louise, who's obviously a senior international. We've got a number of internationals at the club now, which hopefully helps us when it comes into the big moments and when we need to stand up and obviously show the quality that we've got.
And your coach, Darren Carter, you know, he's been a former male player himself. What's he like as a coach and what are the demands that he has on the team?
Obviously, Darren's a young coach, but he's come in with obviously a fresh kind of look at the game and a good way around people, which is obviously hugely important when you're building obviously a squad of players that you want to play together and have a good atmosphere. So he's definitely brought that, but he's got obviously a style of play that he feels is best for us and obviously looking to push on and compete to challenge for the title this year.
And you're the captain of Birmingham. What kind of a leader are you on and off the field?
I just kind of like to lead by example. I honestly look after myself, train as hard as I can and hope to obviously help people get better in and around me. So that's the kind of player that I am.
And how difficult is it? We've touched upon it a lot this show this season. How difficult is it to compete with the teams that are in the WSL? Obviously, you played against Leicester at the weekend. But other than that, I thought some of the teams in the Championship that played against the WSL teams, you know, had a really good running. But how difficult is it to compete with teams that have really big budgets? We've seen Bristol go up this year and it's hard for them to compete. You know, they've got that hunger, that determination and that fight. But it's almost so difficult when these teams have these big budgets, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you can obviously say that there is kind of a separation in the WSL in terms of like the top four or five against kind of like the remaining teams. But I think the gap between all of the teams below that is getting tighter. And you can see with some of the results like throughout the season. So I think it's just continuing to improve, obviously, the budget that other clubs have got and trying to improve the quality of players that are in the squads and just the professional environment, I think, is huge.
And I speak about it a lot in this show. I just want to give the championship a little bit more love because I feel like, you know, you're obviously playing in it now, but I still feel like there needs to be more investment, a bit more marketing, because obviously we see the WSL, it's flying, the Lionesses are selling out Wembley. But I think, what do you think needs to be done more in the championship to kind of get more people at the games? Because it reminds me of how, you know, things used to be at Arsenal when I was there back in the day at Boreham Wood, and things never used to get really promoted that well. Arsenal did a decent job. But when you look at the attendances in the championship, what more do you think can be done marketing-wise?
Yeah, I think marketing's huge. I think obviously you can see the impact that the Lionesses and everything's had on obviously the WSL, and you're hoping that eventually that will drip down obviously into the championship. But I think for us, it's definitely hugely important that there's more visibility of the championship, more games are streamed and shown, and then also just encouragement to get more fans and into seats and to come and watch the games and have positive experiences.
And you've got Southampton next up in the league, fourth versus fifth in the table. What kind of opposition are they, and how impressed have you been this season with Marianne Spacey's team after they got promoted last year?
Yeah, they're a good side. We played them earlier on in the season and it was a tough game, and they've obviously had a good run already this season. So it's going to be a good game to play in, a competitive one, and one that we're really looking forward to.
Okay, Christy, it's something we do on the show every single week, you know, a little bit of fun. It's called Sanderson's Fire Five. I'll say my name properly. Who's the best player that you've played with?
Briefly, Kelly Smith at Arsenal.
Okay, same for me. I agree with that one. Best player you've played against?
Jennifer Marazan with Germany. Thought she was amazing in midfield.
Okay. And what would you rather, win the Euros or win the Champions League?
I think the Euros.
Okay, the Euros with Scotland. What's your favourite movie?
I just recently rewatched Miss Congeniality. It's probably up there with one of my favourites.
Only recently watched it. It's one of the absolute classics. It's so good, isn't it?
I mean, rewatched it.
I was going to say. And what's your favourite holiday destination?
Definitely Bali. Went there in the summer on my honeymoon. It was amazing.
Amazing. Well, Christy, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Leanne. Take care.
So, Karen, Birmingham are currently sitting in fifth in the table. How competitive has this championship been this year?
Yeah, 100%. It's probably been the most competitive I've seen it. It's exciting. Every game is a challenge. Every game you go into, you have to be absolute best. There's no game that is a given. You see, last week we played Lewis, who are obviously fighting for a different thing within the league. They're fighting for relegation, and they give you different challenges. And we, as Charlton, we just need to make sure that we fully prepare, fully go into each game as we can, with that winning mentality. But every single team is doing exactly the same, week in, week out, and that's why it's so close and exciting.
And that leads me to my next question. Which team has been the hardest team to play against this year in the league, and why?
Well, it's been an interesting one. Every team has been a challenge. There's not been much between either team that we've played. But I think the biggest one that comes to my mind is the game that we've lost. We played against Watford and at the start of the season, and they was unbelievable in the first half, and they was 3-0 up at half time, and it was a bit of a shell shock moment for us that we had to sort of regroup and come out. And unfortunately we didn't manage to get anything from the game. We managed to score two goals, but they beat us 3-2, and that's the only game that we've lost in the championship so far this season.
And we look at other teams like Sunderland finishing 11th last year, now battling it out at the top with you guys. What do you think's been the biggest turnaround for Melray?
Recruitment and stability from obviously the club. Mel's a fantastic coach, person. She's got a great team around her. Her recruitment of players has been excellent, and I'm sure that they will continue to keep striving in a really positive direction.
Now, Crystal Palace are currently sitting in third, 3 points off the top. They have one game in hand. With Crystal Palace, Laura Kaminski is doing an amazing job. Hilsey, you had her at Tottenham Hotspur, you had her at Charlton. How impressed have you been by Laura Kaminski in Crystal Palace this season?
Yeah, Laura's done an unbelievable job. I think this season for them, they've brought in a couple of new additions, but they had a good foundation and to work with. There are over, obviously, a lot more resources available to them now. But she's got them playing in and believing, and I think they're enjoying their football, and it shows on the pitch.
And you touched upon it before, you know, the lone players in the Championship. We're seeing a lot of players from the WSL that are not getting many minutes that are coming down to the Championship. Lexi Potter, Araya Dennis, you know, those types of players. And you touched upon the players that you signed as well. How impactful do you think those players can be, and how valuable is that experience playing in the Championship? Because it is competitive, and when they go back to their teams.
Yeah, it's really important for these younger players to be exposed to game time. I think you find, and also from a national team point of view, you look at the 23 team, a lot of the players are probably sitting on benches for the WSL, and they're not getting exposed to making decisions in game situations. And I always say, like, you're better off as a manager as well, and a coach, is to do your work on the grass. It's the same as the players. Make sure you're trying to play as many minutes as you possibly can, because then you make those decisions, you make good mistakes, bad mistakes, and you learn from them. But if you're not playing in those games, you can't see it. So I always think that it's so valuable for those younger players to be able to play week in, week out, if possible, to experience those moments, especially in the Championship, because it's pressured moments. Like, are you going for titles or are you fighting for relegation? To have those feelings and emotions as a player is just as important as to be able to play as well.
Yeah, and I think the Championship is really valuable in that, because I don't think enough teams in the WSL, I think they tend to go overseas and, you know, bring in players from Europe as opposed to kind of have homegrown players and kind of develop them. I think we've seen that at Chelsea, they do it throughout the years. You know, when they need a centre-forward, Aggie Beaver-Jones is there, and then they go and get, you know, Mauro Ramirez, which I'm not saying they're in the same league, but maybe give the younger players an opportunity. And my next question is about London City Lionesses. Obviously, Carolina Moraes last week ends up getting, you know, sacked the same day as their game gets postponed. London City Lionesses looked like they're in a good place last year. Now they're in a relegation battle. What do you make of all what's been going on there?
It's always a hard one to look from the outside to know what's going on. They've got unbelievable players over there. They've signed some fantastic players to definitely be able to compete in the Championship. Obviously, the coach, I'm not really, I don't know a lot about her. Met her on the sideline when we played her. Seemed a really nice person. Obviously knows her stuff. Been around the game for a long, long time. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what that looks like. Maybe they're in a bit of a transition. Obviously, with what happened last season, I think you're always, the expectation is you're in a great place. And then if you lose a lot of the calibre of players that they did, and then you have to bring in new players again, then it's always about rebuilding. And it takes a little bit of time, especially to get the manager's ideas across to new players. So I guess it just takes a little bit of time. And unfortunately, in the Championship, you haven't got that sort of time. You need to get results. It's a result-driven business. And unfortunately, they're obviously in a position where I guess the club needed to make changes for whatever reason. But obviously, I wish her all the best.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In yet another exciting competition, the draw for the quarterfinals of the Women's Champions League took place last week. I caught up with DAZN reporter Alex Urbaceta to find out what she makes of these fixtures.
It was funny, the reactions of obviously the quote-unquote smaller teams when they drew against, you know, the PSGs, the Lyons, the Barcelonas, was quite funny. But I think, you know, you look at it and you see the smaller teams versus the bigger teams, essentially is the separation that everyone has initially. But you look at this Champions League overall and the way that it's been progressing, you kind of have to stay away from that mindset. Obviously, we saw Brand, you know, draw with Lyon. We saw Paris FC knock out Wolfsburg, knock out Arsenal. So I think, you know, the underdog story is still quite strong, but it's anything but easy for these big teams now.
Yeah, so let's go over this tie just in case people are not aware. It's SK Brand versus Barcelona, Heckon versus Paris Saint-Germain, Ajax versus Chelsea, Benfica versus Lyon. The first legs are March 19th. Now, for me, we obviously know that teams that are played against each other in the same group cannot be drawn against each other. There's the seeded and the unseeded. So I think a lot of people that weren't aware of that were hoping that, you know, a Heckon might draw a team like an Ajax or something like that, but that wasn't even possible. So I think for me, I don't know if you agree with this, Alex, the Heckon versus Paris Saint-Germain draw, now I know they played each other last year, I think there could be a potential, that's the only game that I see being a potential shock.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. The second one I had in mind as well was Ajax Chelsea, but
elaborate.
I know, because I mean, you've seen Ajax, you know, against these bigger teams, they beat PSG, you know, they drew against Bayern, they beat Bayern. You know, they're not a team to kind of underestimate. But the thing with Ajax is that obviously they play in the Dutch league and it's not to the same level as, say, you know, the WSL. The WSL is quite demanding and we all know that Chelsea players have that mentality to get things over the line. And I don't know if Ajax can match up to that mentality more than anything, especially over two legs. If this was a one-off game, I think I would go for Ajax, if I'm being quite honest. But over two legs is where Chelsea has just an absolutely ridiculous advantage, because Chelsea can kind of, you know, churn out the game over two legs, especially because, you know, play at Stamford Bridge as well is quite big. Obviously, Ajax's home advantage is quite big, but Ajax are a team that can pull out a good win, but I don't think they can be as consistent over essentially 120 minutes, sort of say, you know, for over two legs, essentially.
And they'll have to do that without their, you know, stalwart Sheridan Spitzer, who picks up that yellow card, so she misses this game as well. How big of a miss do you think she'll be to this game and the team?
Oh, absolutely massive. She's massive. I think she's, you know, the pillar of this Ajax team. Captain, you know, centre-back, she is, you know, the start and ending of this entire Ajax team. As a senior player, her leadership is everything. But I don't think she contributes much to Ajax's dangers. When you look at Ioannis, when you look at Chastity Grant, you know, all these younger players are the ones that are pulling the Ajax's threat, if that sort of say. So Chidi Espita, I think, will be definitely a big miss, but I don't think it'll be as big of a miss as people think. Obviously, you need the leadership out the back, but I think these younger players, especially now getting the momentum from the group stage into the quarterfinal, I think they'll be fine. And Chidi Espita obviously is still going to be part of, you know, the dressing room and the bench and everything. So I think she'll be a miss on the pitch, but mentally, I think she's still going to be around.
Yeah, and the next draw that I want to talk about is Benfica versus Lyon. Now, obviously, Benfica's journey throughout this tournament has been quite incredible. I was at the game where they lost 5-0 back in November against Barcelona, and then they go and tie, you know, 4-4 in the last round of group games. Talk to me about Elidou, how good she has been in the Champions League, Jessica Silva, and where do you think, I mean, it's hard to see past Lyon and Barcelona in this tournament, but could we see Benfica really pushing Lyon at this point?
I could talk about Alidou probably for the rest of this conversation. She's been absolutely brilliant. I think one of the goals that stood out for me was a goal that she scored against Eintracht. That was an absolutely brilliant finish. I think the confidence that Benfica have been building throughout the group stage has been quite relevant. As you see, you know, they started off the group stage against Barcelona where they lost 5-0, and they ended up, you know, finishing the group stage drawing 4-4 with Barcelona. So I think that kind of growth into the Champions League was quite big. They obviously beat Eintracht at home. And from there, you know, that confidence kind of built. So I think it depends on that momentum that they bring in. Obviously, Kika Nazari is also a big name for them. That is, you know, questionable for for these quarterfinals, but between Alidou and Jessica Silva, you know, she had a bit of a, she wasn't always present throughout the group stage, but obviously showed up when it mattered in the last day against Barcelona. But Benfica are definitely not one to be underestimated. I think the way that they play, they know their strengths. They obviously play a three in the back. Their defensive line is quite solid. You know, it's hard to say that when, you know, Barcelona scored five, but I think we all know that when Barcelona scores against you, that's just, it's inevitable sometimes. But no, Benfica are definitely one to see. I don't know how they would match up entirely to, again, those two legs is where it kills a lot of these teams. Again, you know, a one-off match, you play defensively, you get the counter-attack goals, you get a good goal, and you're able to kind of protect the match a lot easier than over two legs. But say you get Lyon again, and, you know, another mentality monster that's going to just crush over Benfica if Benfica can't really keep it up. But again, I think every single, you know, smaller team, quote-unquote, has the ability to get past these big teams.
And obviously last Tuesday they did the draw for the semi-final as well. So we know that SK Bran or Barcelona will play Ajax or Chelsea. Benfica or Lyon will play Heken or PSG. Now, Emma Hayes was quite reluctant to say about beating Ajax already in a press conference and those types of things. But how much do you think it's in the back of the players' minds that they know that if they win this, they'll play against Barcelona, the Chelsea side will, the same as they did in the last semi-final last year?
Oh, I think it's definitely a big, you know, obviously the big motivation is to give Emma Hayes the one trophy that she's missing in her trophy cabinet, essentially. And playing against Barcelona, you know, they've lost twice now against Barcelona, once in the final, once in the semi-final. So there's that grudge. And we've seen that grudge before with Chelsea against Wolfsburg, against Atletico de Madrid. And they've gotten over the line, particularly Wolfsburg was hard to get over the line, and they finally did a couple of years ago. So that grudge is definitely going to be there. You know, we can talk once it gets to Chelsea-Barcelona, we can talk about the chances of them actually beating Barcelona, but it's definitely going to be in the back of the players' minds. I think it's going to be one of the biggest motivating factors to be able to play Barcelona and get the better of them for these mentality monsters. And that's where I think Ajax won't be able to keep up.
And finally, we had two big sets of cup games to break down as we look back on the fifth round of the FA Cup and the quarterfinals of the Conti Cup.
There may not have been any WSL football for us to get stuck into this week, but we've been treated to not one, but two rounds of cup competitions instead. Both the fifth round of the FA Cup and the Conti Cup quarterfinals took place. We were given a staggering 29 goals across the week. Despite some nervy moments for the top flight teams, it will be an all WSL affair in the FA Cup quarterfinals. But there's one WSL side who will be noticeably absent from this competition, and that is Arsenal. They may have won it 14 times before, but there'll be no glory at Wembley for Arsenal this year. The Gunners exit the FA Cup at this stage for the second year in a row after their 1-0 loss to Man City. Laia Alexandri's 74th minute strike proved the winner, and Jonas Eidevall's hopes of silverware are getting smaller and smaller. But City, now undefeated in 10 games, are through. That's alongside the likes of Leicester, Spurs, Chelsea, Liverpool and Man United, who all defeated their championship opponents. The lowest ranked side in the round, Wolves, put on a display to be proud of against Brighton, but a stunning 8-minute hat-trick from Emma Kullberg saw the Seagulls prevail in the end with a 4-1 win. Third tier Nottingham Forest also suffered a heavy defeat after Everton put 7 past them, although Forest did manage to break the Toffees' defence once to get on the scoreboard. Lots to look forward to in the FA Cup quarterfinals then, but can anyone stop defending champions Chelsea? Meanwhile, three teams have also booked their place in the semi-finals of the Continental Tyres League Cup. Last year's runners-up Chelsea cruised past Sunderland. Lioness Fran Kirby picked up a brace as the Blues put 5 past the championship side. They'll now face Man City in a mouth-watering clash after Gareth Taylor's side dispatched Tottenham thanks to a stunning Yui Hasegawa long-range strike. Aston Villa needed penalties and some spectacular heroics from keeper Daphne van Domselaar to defeat Brighton, but they'll have to wait to discover their semi-final opponents. It'll either be Arsenal or the London City Lionesses. That game will take place on Wednesday, having been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch, but London City Lionesses will likely still be without a manager for that match. They sacked Carolina Moraes at the exact moment their game against Arsenal was supposed to be taking place. And the stakes will be high for the Gunners. They'll be looking to avoid a third straight defeat. They might be the Conti Cup defending champions, but they've got work to do if they want to regain that trophy this year. And with giants Chelsea and Man City storming through the rounds too, Arsenal could well find that a record that's seen them win just one trophy in 5 years is about to get even worse.
Thank you, Uma, for that lovely update. Now, Hillsy, obviously, there's so much football. What a dream come true. Conti Cup, FA Cup, no WSL action this weekend, but I want to get your thoughts and your expertise on what you've made of the league this year. And obviously, it's so hard to see past Chelsea, but Manchester City, are they really going to push Chelsea all the way, do you think?
Well, looking at their current form, why not? They're in a great place. When you win games, it's that momentum. And they've definitely got that momentum behind them. And obviously winning this weekend in the FA Cup to take them into the latter stages, that's what they want. They're obviously doing really well in the league. So I think, yeah, it's an opportunity for them to keep putting the pressure on Chelsea.
So you just mentioned it there. Man City win over Arsenal in the FA Cup. Arsenal are out now. That's two back-to-back losses for Arsenal after losing last week to West Ham. Did that one surprise you? And Emma Byrne was on our show last week and she actually said that she felt like Manchester City are the best footballing team in the league. And I find that hard to believe based upon the fact that Chelsea have won, you know, three times in a row. But what did you make of yesterday's result?
Yeah, I actually watched the game and I thought it was a well-contested game. It took some unbelievable saves from the Man City keeper, especially the one right at the very end. But no, they deserve winners. And like I said, it's sometimes it's the momentum and that belief, especially to go to Boreham Wood. Arsenal had a full house down there, a lot of support for them. But Man City stuck to what they needed to stick to. And I thought they come out worthy winners.
And we saw this weekend, you know, plenty of WSL teams going up against Championship teams. You went up against your former team, Tottenham Hotspur. How big do you think the gap is between the Championship and the WSL?
The gap is, would we say, closing. I think Championship teams now are fitter than what they ever have been. I think the resources for more teams to be full-time. So that gap's definitely closing. Quality of player. We're obviously seeing a lot more WSL players come down into the Championship, which is making it more competitive. I think the results showed yesterday. You look at Crystal Palace up against Chelsea. We're doing a lot of defending. It's just then what you do when you have the ball, and I think that's the difference. So you can hold out for as long as you can, and from a defensive point of view, in a mid or a low block, with playing five or four at the back, but it only takes a one bit of magic, and those are the small margins. So I'd say, yeah, the gap is definitely closing in terms of being able to be resilient in your defending, and also the goalkeepers are doing unbelievably well. But at the same time, to go and win against these teams, you're going to need to be a little bit braver as well when you have the ball.
Do you think ultimately, because both Emma Byrne and Farrah Williams, we were talking a lot on the show in previous weeks about financially, it's very difficult. We've seen Bristol go up this year and it's very difficult for them to compete with the likes of Chelsea. I mean, they've got heart, they've got that fight, they've got that desire, but it is quite difficult, isn't it? I think we're seeing in the WSL, it's almost like a Super League within a Super League. We saw Aston Villa last year come fifth, get a little bit close. But other than that, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Because financially, how can these teams attract the big players when they don't have the budgets that a Chelsea or a Manchester City does?
I think it's the expectation of the club. And obviously, I've had the privilege to take Spurs up to the WSL, and the expectation was to build on what we'd already built on and bring in some additional players, and then obviously to try and stay in the league. That's your first aim, to try and stay in that league, and then you build again. It's the same as what Liverpool did with Matt Beard. He come out of the Championship a few seasons ago. He stayed in the league and he's built again. And then obviously this year he's brought in some players to take him to a next level. So I think sometimes you have to be patient with the process of building your squad and your team. But obviously there's some teams at the top who've got the experience and the money, I guess, to bring in the top players. And those sometimes are the difference.
Yeah, and obviously we've seen it in the WSL as well last season. I remember West Ham went up 1-0. Against Chelsea at King's Meadow, and then they can bring on, you know, Jesse Fleming, Sam Kerr was on the bench, and those types of things. I think it's quite difficult to compete, but I think ultimately, you know, a lot of the players, now that you mentioned it before, your players are full-time now.
Correct.
So talk to me a little bit about the difference between, because a lot, not many people know that in the women's game, only in the last 2 or 3 years have players gone full time, and that's even including the WSL. You know, when we played, we used to, you know, I was in school and then used to go to work. A lot of our teammates would train at 10 o'clock at night. So talk to me a little bit about how impactful that can be when you have players that are full time and can solely focus on being footballers.
Yeah, it's huge. It just gives them an emphasis on being able to be the best they can and have the resources around them. And obviously to empower the younger generation as well. Now you're seeing a lot younger players being able to have accessibility to different resources to be the best they can. And that's only going to improve the game over the coming years, because there's players now, young players in schools being able to access football, which is unbelievable. I was never allowed to play even in schools. So to see that, and you will see the rewards further down the line. But at the top of the game, you've got a league now that's completely full-time. You've got a league underneath, which is a women's championship, which is now nearly full-time. And I do believe it will probably be full-time in the next 12, 24 months. That's only going to then keep the pyramid in a really good place. And the teams underneath, you now seen that they've taken out the playoff game in tier three. So now there's two teams coming up and two teams going down from the championship. So the pyramid is in a good place. And obviously the top two leagues at this moment in time are striving. And I think it's a great thing for young English players, talented players to have a dream. And now it's a reality that they can be a full-time professional footballer.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's made a difference to the Lionesses as well. I mean, when the US Women's National Team used to beat us in Germany and those types of teams over full-time. You know, when we won the quadruple, Umeå in the Champions League final, they were full-time and we were semi-pro. So, you know, but I want to touch upon, you know, you obviously played at the highest level. How much do you draw on your experience as a player now that you're in coaching and managing players? Because you touched upon it before, you know, female players want to know everything. They want to know the answers. So how do you draw on those experiences? Because you've been a player yourself.
I think I draw on the big moments that I have. I've had good moments and moments where I've scored an own goal in a cup final on my birthday. And I always remember it looking back, and Pauline Cope still actually texts me now and again to remind me. But those moments of frustration and disappointment always will stick with you. But at the same time, you've got to take the highs and lows as being a football player and not dwell on it and just keep moving forward and keep learning.
That's all for today. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'll be back next week for another instalment of the Women's Football Show, where we'll bring you the best of the huge WSL weekend, including the top of the table clash between Chelsea and Manchester City.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.